News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Here we go, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. All good things must come to an end like that. Weather we had over the weekend, I guess actually a stretch of 5 days or so where it was absolutely picture perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
really nice
rain on the way now. So, yeah. But we need the rain. We don't need accidents along with the rain. So drive safely these next few days.
Be listening to Kane's traffic. Speaking of traffic, they're causing a lot of traffic down by the Civic Center. Natalie Fox is the Chief Nursing Officer for USA Health Physicians. And Sarah Cahaley, Director of Clinical Resources for USA Health Physicians Group. They're the dynamic duo down there at the Civic Center. And ladies, good morning. Let's talk about what you've been doing. We talked to you last week about all this, but what's been going on down at the Civic Center? How long it's been happening? And what's the status of things right now? I know we have some traffic backups down there trying to get into the Civic Center.
Well, good morning. Thanks all for having us on the show again.
Sure.
We're happy to be here.
Talk about what people might see as they try to negotiate their way around the Civic Center. And I guess there's a good bit of traffic in the morning now.
Yeah, usually, you know, we open our doors at 8, and we have a lot of people who are very eager to get in line early. We do an appointment-only system, so all our people that are coming through today do have appointments, or any day, 5 days a week. But again, a lot of people like to arrive early, but as soon as that gate opens right at 8 o'clock, which is right around now, we start moving them through fairly quickly. That's one thing that we hear some of the people say the most is that they're pretty amazed when they're in that morning rush, how quick our team really goes into action. I can't say enough about the team down there and the work that they're doing day in and day out to be able to deliver over 1,000 vaccines Monday through Friday to our community. So I'm super proud of them.
How big a group is it down there, volunteers and USA workers?
It varies from day to day, just depending on what kind of community support we get from either the city, our academic side, or whatever it be. It can be anywhere close to about 30, 40 employees helping. We even support some of the students' programs, some of the College of Medicine, the PA school, and the College of Nursing. So we get a handful on some days. As far as core staff members go, though, we only have around 20, and the rest of those numbers to get us up to 30 or 40 are the great support of those volunteers that Sarah mentioned.
That's great to hear. Now, as far as eligibility for the vaccine is concerned, the first group, first responders, nurses, 75 and over, and then we went to the age group of 65 and over, and it's been weeks now. Of course, this coming Monday, things will change, but I'm wondering, have you noticed a slowdown in the number of people coming by to get the vaccine here over the last couple weeks and days? Or are you still going strong?
We've been holding steady, but what I can tell you is that registration queue online that we have, our electronic registration, we have worked our way down to the people that are currently eligible. So this week, we were going to hit everybody who is currently outstanding in our queue. We only had around 4,000 people currently in those eligible groups, and they add every day. So we are also eagerly awaiting to move on March 22nd, and we're doing several things to prepare for that, to be able to increase our capacity. We're working on staffing this morning as we speak, so that when March 22nd comes around, we have a lot of people already registered on our website that we're going to be bringing in for appointments. And I would just encourage anybody else who fits into those categories of 55 and older, intellectual and physical disabilities over 16. We also have chronic medical conditions, as well as those employed in the Alabama Department of Public Health 1C essential worker categories, to go ahead to our website and register and get your place in line to get an appointment.
And that website is?
It is c19vaccine.southalabama.edu. You put in information about yourself, and then as we have appointments available based on vaccine supply, we will send you a text or an email with instructions on how to schedule that appointment.
So if you're not eligible until Monday, you're saying you can go ahead and get your spot in line right now?
Absolutely. We actually have several thousand already registered that we're going to be able to go ahead and start offering appointments next week to. They'll be able to get emails this week that have signed up in our queue. You know, they could have been in there for quite a long time at this point. So I know that they're happy to see this finally go forward as well.
Natalie Fox is the Chief Nursing Officer at USA Health Physicians Group. Sarah Cahaley, the Director of Clinical Resources for USA Health Physicians Group. Now, with the new eligibility on Monday. You say you've already got several thousand who are gone ahead and got their appointment online. Do you expect, you know, will that create another surge for you, or is it about the same?
It will probably increase our daily, which that is why we're working so diligently to work out staffing and make those plans ahead of time. We've also been able to host those mass vaccination events on the weekend to kind of practice large numbers. So we'll probably be able to take anywhere from 1,250 to 1,500, a few days a week or so to try to support that next surge. Because anytime they make these changes, there's always a higher influx of all of those people that are waiting anxiously. And then it may taper off as time goes on.
It was amazing. My experience was incredible, but because I was kind of on a call list because I didn't want to waste any. This was a couple of Saturdays ago, Dalton. So I was called to see if I was in the vicinity of the Civic Center, and it was quick, and it was really something. So for those who are, if you're still seeing even this week, patients that are first time through, or are you doing second doses only? And if you haven't been there yet, what can somebody expect as they head to the vaccination site, to the Civic Center for the first time?
Sure. So this week, we are still doing a mix. It's first doses and second doses every day of the week for us this week. When they head in for the first time, just be prepared for several stops along the way. We're going to check, make sure you're on your schedule. We're going to give you some paperwork to fill out. And, you know, I think the most exciting thing for most people is that they get to drive their car into the Civic Center. You get to stay in your car the entire time. We do ask that you turn off your car when you enter the building, when you get to your parking space. And just keep in mind that we have to monitor you after you receive the vaccination for at least 15 to 30 minutes. 15 minutes is for the majority of people, but if you have a history of severe allergies, we're going to keep you for 30 minutes. And during that time, we're going to go over several things about what you can expect after vaccination. And if you're there for your first shot, we're going to go ahead and tell you when to come back for your second shot and, of course, give you that vaccination card. So you have a record that you have been there with us. And then we are also going to make sure that everything is documented in your electronic medical record that we have here at USA Health. So if you ever need it later on, you can access it through your patient portal.
So when someone gets the vaccine, and I know many are worried about possible, you know, side effects, and I think mostly what I've seen are if you've had allergy reactions or allergic reactions before to something like that, that's a possibility. You keep people around for what? Is it 15, 20 minutes after the vaccine to just kind of check up on them?
Yep. So usually, typically, we keep them for 30 minutes if they've had any kind of an allergic reaction before to something that involves like respiratory, anaphylactic, something like that. But we also use our clinical assessment with each patient. And if we feel like there's another reason or if the patient is just nervous, we've had a lot recently that have had asthma that just wanted to stay that extra 30 minutes. There's really not a lot of guidelines saying it's required, but we go ahead and take that extra precaution. And if we feel like somebody needs to stay that 30-minute window, or even if another 10 minutes after that, we'll do whatever we need to until they feel comfortable to leave.
So
absolutely. And a big shout out to the city of Mobile. They provide us with EMS support. So not only do we have teams of nurses and a nurse practitioner, we also have an emergency medical transport team on staff with us every day.
Excellent. So every day, speaking of every day since I received my first dose, I've received an email from USA Health Systems and kind of a survey of how I'm doing that day. Talk about that and who is reading that email.
So that's actually a tool that we built with some of our College of Nursing staff. They were really great. Our biomedical librarians built this tool for us where we can monitor patients after the vaccine. The CDC has a program that they use called BeSafe, but we wanted to have one of our own because that one, it's not as transparent. We can't see who's reporting symptoms, so we developed a tool that kind of mirrors it to go along with it. We still recommend that you use BeSafe, but also use ours. And then that way we have some providers on staff, a couple of nurse practitioners that read through those symptoms and decide if we need to call and do a further assessment, provide a provider visit, have you come in to be evaluated, or whatever the next steps may be, depending on what you experience.
So far, Dalton, you'll be proud to know I'm getting an A+.
I expected nothing less, Dan. So I'm looking at this coming Monday, and I believe Dr. Scott Harris said this will open the window for more than 2 million more Alabamians to be eligible for the vaccine. And medical conditions make up a major list of who will be eligible come Monday. But two of those medical conditions that I'm focusing on, and I'm sure so many others are as well, obesity, where they say BMI greater than 30, and if you're a smoker. Now, I imagine it'll be difficult to enforce that these rules are being followed by those coming in for the vaccine. So it's kind of like a trust system, right? You have to trust that no one's taking advantage of the system.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's been the case all along. If you'll look in the news stories, even when it was with essential workers, First Aid was one a little bit harder that wasn't as easy for anybody to try to skirt the system. But we do ask that everybody honor the system. We do our part as much as we can, and we just ask that everybody else do their part as well. It's going to be a huge influx on all the vaccination systems in our community come March 22nd. So, again, be patient. You know, whatever vaccine is available to you, whether it's Moderna, we are giving Pfizer, or the Johnson & Johnson. You know, that's what we recommend and we give. The biggest thing is that we all do our part together in prevention, which is vaccination, hand washing, wear masks, and social distancing so we can continue to keep this pandemic under control and hopefully, aspire to get back to, I don't know that things will ever be the way they used to be, but maybe even better.
Well, they're getting better because of the work that you guys are doing. Would you be kind enough to hang around with us a little bit longer?
Sure, absolutely.
We'll talk more with these ladies who are certainly in the know. They're more than just in the know because they're actually doing some really, really great work. Over 1,000 vaccinations a day down at the Civic Center with the USA Health Systems. It's Natalie Fox and Sarah Cahaley, and they're back with us on the way in about 3 minutes on FM Talk 106.5. On FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. On Mobile Mornings, Jeff Poor Show starts at a little after 9 o'clock, and then Sean Sullivan, Midday Mobile, at high noon. Natalie Fox is the Chief Nursing Officer at USA Health Physicians Group, and Sarah Cahaley. They're like the Batman and Robin of vaccinations, Dalton, I got to tell you. Highly regarded down there by everybody at USA Health. You guys have really, you're earning a lot of praise on the job, but also you're definitely delivering. So congratulations on what you've been able to do, even starting way back when with testing. Same place, right? Same way.
Absolutely. Yeah. We went through a lot of different renditions of testing. We went from a small building to lab to the arena. Now testing is in the expo hall at the Civic Center where our vaccines take place in the arena.
So talk about the adjustments you've made to improve efficiency and the way you've borrowed from other industries.
Yeah, so, we didn't really know how to do medicine in cars when we all started this back with the testing. We knew it was safer for us, but what we really had to figure out, we knew how to collect swabs. We know how to give vaccines. We just had to do it in such a way that it was effective and efficient and learn from, how are other people in other industries, maybe not necessarily medicine, being effective in both the patient experience and with staffing and being efficient in the processes. So I'm going to let Sarah talk a little bit about how we're doing that and what we learned from.
One of the biggest things that I think that I found in this is that it really doesn't have much to do with medicine at all as time went down. And so I thought that my nursing piece would take a big role, and it doesn't. It's really about process improvement and continuously tweaking those processes, and every day it changes. And one of the things we joke about is that when we started just a few months ago and we were doing 200 people a day, like with vaccines, and even back in early COVID, that number increasing just by a couple of hundred changed everything, and everything that was such a good idea is no longer a good idea, and it actually hurts us, which is like last Monday we talked about what a high-volume day, and it was amazing because all of the staff was able to change everything we know, throw it out of the window, make a new process, and get the people through to maybe decongest some of that traffic you referred to earlier. But that's what it is. It's every day it's different. You have to continuously be able to change and adapt to it and do it with a smile with customer service. and provide safe, efficient care.
Yeah, and there's a couple fast food industries that do this well that, you know, we learn from about actually going up to the cars as opposed to the cars, you know, coming to you in a typical drive-thru. There's, you know, a couple big ones in town, one big Chick-fil-A that actually, you know, you see them do multiple lines at a time. The workers there actually go to the car. So, again, that's something that really does create a lot of efficiency. It also really helps with a more patient-centric approach. That way we all know who that patient is coming in that vehicle as they move forward. And again, you know, who else does better customer service than Disney? And again, moves big crowds. So we learn from those industries to be able to pull off these things. And again, like Sarah said, we have to change every day to adapt to, you know, either volumes or something else that changes in our process.
Very interesting. Now, I would imagine the two largest issues with the vaccine rollout would be, first, the availability of the vaccines coming from the federal government to each state and then city and municipality. And then the second would be whether people, whether Alabamians actually want to go out and get the vaccine. And we could talk about that, but I'd like to start with the vaccine availability. Has it gotten better, would you say, over the last few weeks? Have more vaccines been rolling into our area?
Yeah, for us it has. We had a slight decrease back in February of our vaccine allocation, but we are back at capacity of what we would like to be able to have every week to be able to deliver that 5,000 vaccines every week, which would give us 1,000 a day. And so right now our allocation supports that. And so that's something that we're really excited about as we're able to move forward. And we hope that we're able to sustain that through the allocation plan from ADPH.
Do you only have one brand of the vaccine, or are you just taking whatever you can get? Have you seen any of the Johnson & Johnson single doses yet?
No, not at our site. I know that there are some in our area. And right now, yes, since we've received vaccines back for the first time on December 15th, we have had Pfizer. And I imagine we will continue to have Pfizer. We have the capacity for the ultra-cold freezer storage in our location.
So over the weekend, there was a lot of activity on the streets of Mobile. There was downtown. There was the Friday Night Art Walk, I believe, at Festival of Flowers. You had people out and about. You had absolutely incredible weather. So with the numbers dropping the way they are, what's the overview at USA Health as you guys look at the numbers going down but people getting out more? What are you seeing? What are you anticipating?
Yeah, and that's a big unknown, right? And we're all really excited that the numbers are going down. I think all of us are really excited for spring and that outdoor weather, and it was an absolutely gorgeous weekend. And again, you know, it's hard to anticipate what's going to happen with this thing. That's been one of the main with COVID from the entire time is the uncertainty around it, right? Like, we haven't known how this virus was going to behave. We learned a lot from this time last year to where we are today, specifically on how to care for these patients medically in the hospital. We, you know, prevention is something that we knew and we show that we can do quite well through masking and social distancing, and now vaccines. There's great data about vaccines. So as far as what to anticipate, I can only hope that we continue to get more vaccines in arms, and until we do that, that people continue to social distance when they're not around their pod of people from their family, and wear masks anytime that they're in the public arena.
Well, thanks for the work that you do, and also thanks for now joining Dalton and I each Monday to give us an update. And I think every time we, you know, each passing week, I think your information will be a little bit different and a little more on point with where we are right now.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all so much for having us.
You got it. Natalie Fox, Chief Nursing Officer at USA Health Physicians Group, and Sarah Cahaley is the Director of Clinical Resources for USA Health Physicians Group. And they're on the ground right now, Dalton. They are down at the Civic Center and have been every day, every weekday for the past several months as vaccinations. She talked about February. We remember that well when Dr. Harris, I believe, said, or may have been on a local level, like, yeah, that's all we're going to get in Mobile for the month of February. And it was like maybe the 8th or so.
Yeah, that was Dr. Chavers with Chavers BMCHD locally.
Yeah,
saying
right.
that was their supply that was kind of running low. And remember, at the Civic Center, that's appointment only.
Yes.
And that website, again, is c19vaccine.southalabama.edu, and they're taking, I guess you can call it, reservations now for next Monday when more people are eligible for the vaccine. So that's the website.
8:29, just about 8:30 now. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5. Listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great on this Monday. Let's talk about what's happening at McConnell today. I know you got some great deals on Buicks.
Yeah, we've got the great deals going on Buicks. We got new cars, man. We traded in a lot of cars over the weekend. Well, thank everybody for coming in here, and we'll have them going through the shop and up online here shortly. Got a couple of Volkswagens we traded in. Also, some more trucks. Everybody's wanting trucks. Mm-hmm. Trucks. We're going to have a 1984. It'll be here Wednesday that everybody's been looking for those. We traded one of those in. I think it's got 20,000 miles on it. We have to check all that out. Don't forget, we're going to have a little housekeeping here. We're going to tear up the front parking, the front driveway. So if y'all are going to come over here and see us, come see us through the service lane right there in between Mercedes and pre-owned. And then on the west side of the new car building, there's a drive right there. Y'all can just come on through there. But it should take about a couple of days. We get this finished up and get back going again.
All right. Good to know. But people can also check you out online, right?
That's right, at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you've got any questions, call Gene or I at 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louis Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
How the worm has turned with Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York State, hailed as a hero and with his efficiency and his leadership back in the time of early COVID. His PowerPoint press conferences were even, yeah. They were even on Fox.
Yeah.
Fox carried him a lot because New York City was the epicenter. He, of course, the state governor of New York.
Yeah. It's kind of funny to look back at that now, right? And for many people, it's not funny at all.
No.
After hearing of the cover-up from the Cuomo, the alleged cover-up from the Cuomo administration. But you're right. There for a long stretch of time, the then president, Trump, would come out, and they had the daily pandemic team update on what was happening nationally, and then Cuomo's daily press conference.
Every morning beginning like 10 o'clock or something like that.
And of course he had the book that came out, like how to deal with mm-hmm. a crisis, and that came out, what, 4 or 5 months into the pandemic?
Yeah.
Where he was basically, it was like the mission accomplished of COVID-19. And remember all those headlines? Cuomo is so hot. I wish Cuomo was my president. Like there were people who call themselves actual news journalists writing pieces about how pretty of a governor Cuomo is and how they wish that the president was more like Cuomo. And look, this is how a man really ends a pandemic. And then we all know what's happened since on two different fronts. First off, the nursing home scandal, which
right.
is not being talked about nearly enough. And then the sexier story for the media are all these allegations that have been made by, I think, what, 7 women to this point have said that he...
Six or seven.
Yeah.
So were you up to 7 now?
7 allegations
wow.
now. Yeah. And they get more and more... These allegations are like the level of what you would call impropriety
mm-hmm.
is like, it's what are we even talking about? I think the last one said he put his arm around her and made fun of her purple phone or something like that. That's yeah. what we're talking about now.
This is the governor. This is the guy that's, these are employees for the most part that he harassed at the very least. So yeah, so it was the nursing home scandal, the way the numbers were cooked mm-hmm. and presented. That was the initial scandal, which is quite tragic, but it's been completely overshadowed by now the allegation from all these women. And at this point now, I think even Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, big time Democrat, she's a senator for New York State, and she says his time is just about over. This is Kirsten Gillibrand from over the weekend.
It's clear that Governor Cuomo has lost the confidence of his governing partners, as well as the people of New York.
And another guy that just couldn't wait to get his mitts in Cuomo is Mayor Bill de Blasio. I thought you were funny when you said it was like the nerd in class was able to rat out the jock.
Yeah, finally get him suspended
bully.
From school.
Yes. Yeah, so de Blasio says that it is definitely time for Cuomo to step down, and he kind of gives his impression of what may happen going forward.
I think he'll try to hold out. I think he is used to getting things his way, and it's been almost an imperial governorship. But I got to tell you, the folks in this state and the political leadership don't believe him anymore. He doesn't have any credibility. So I think an impeachment proceeding will begin, and I think he will be impeached. And perhaps right before that, he'll decide to resign. That's probably the most likely outcome right now. But I got to tell you something. He should resign right now because he's holding up our effort to fight COVID. He's literally in the way of us saving lives right now.
All right, here's how you know things are going bad, Dalton.
How's that?
Say you were Cuomo. Let's just say that.
All right, I'll put myself in his shoes.
You were the governor of the state of New York, and your staff is not showing up on the job.
Oh, boy.
Disillusioned staffers are abandoning embattled Governor Cuomo, sources said. I hear that most people aren't even coming into work, and the offices at the Capitol are empty, said one well-placed insider in touch with the staffers in recent days. He'll fight and fight and fight, but the staffers I've talked to are ready for him to hang up the gloves. Everyone feels like there is an inevitable conclusion. I mean, at some point, will Biden call on him to step down? They just want his torture to stop. Rebellion in the ranks deepened as Cuomo on Friday defiantly refused to step aside and blamed cancel culture for his downfall. I don't think it's cancel culture. Yeah, it's out there, and it's taken a lot of people down here recently, including they're eating their own now on The View. It's almost funny. It wasn't sad. But in any event, back to Cuomo, I don't think this is a matter of cancel culture. I think this is a matter of legally crossing the line, and more than likely, he's going to be prosecuted for these allegations.
I just can't get over, and I know I mentioned it earlier, but what kind of place are we as a nation when the news comes out that his administration intentionally lied about how many elderly in New York died from the virus, and his decision unilaterally, you know, they weren't following the science.
No.
They keep telling everyone, follow the science, wear the mask, follow the science, get the vaccine. That's all you hear is follow the science. But we see so many hypocritical politicians that aren't following the science and then see no repercussions from that. Something that people knew early on was that the elderly were more likely to be very sick or die from COVID-19.
40% of the deaths, even at this point, were nursing home deaths.
And Andrew Cuomo, who writes a book about how he succeeded in the pandemic, lies about how many people died because he decided to send the elderly from hospitals back into nursing homes where it spread like wildfire, and then so many more died that probably wouldn't have if he hadn't come to that decision. That is a scandal. But that's not what anyone's talking about. The way we stand right now, for whatever reason, our culture, which if you watched the Grammys last night, and I did not.
No.
But I heard that the song, which I think Time called it the song of the year, the Nicki Minaj, Meg Thee Stallion, their song called WAP, W-A-P, which is an acronym, that two of those words you're not allowed to say on the air because of the FCC, but they can perform it at the Grammys.
And they won the Grammy. The Grammy.
And they won Time Song of the Year because they said that it was like monumental in the fight for women's rights or something like that, just the ability for them to sing what is an incredibly crude song. And I say that as someone who's grown up listening to incredibly crude songs.
Yeah, you hit the sweet spot when you were growing up.
So it's like two different competing things. You got this going on in the culture, and it's being celebrated. And you've got this major cover-up where thousands of people died because of his idiotic decision as a governor. And that is not enough to get him impeached. But because seven women have accused him of sexual misconduct, and it really varies that sexual misconduct, those allegations. I mean, some seem to be pretty serious and should be investigated. No one is actually claiming that he truly forced himself in a sexual manner upon them. That has not been alleged. They have said that he's kissed, you know, one or two of them. But
I thought he had a hand inside the blouse on number six.
Okay, that was a pretty good one too. But
yeah.
But how come nowadays that's enough to get you know, looked at? And the Democrats want to hear from Biden. They want to hear from Harris, who finally did speak up on this. And unlike the rest of the Democrats, they've not called for Cuomo to resign. Biden said we should just go through with this investigation and see what happens. My main issue with this isn't the allegations that are being made, which if this was an equal world and equal government, then he would be treated the same way that so many Republicans have. But remember, Donald Trump, there was audio of him saying something that almost got him into some major, major trouble leading into his presidency.
Yeah, right before the election.
He kind of took the same tact that Cuomo's taking now and saying, I'm not going to let cancel culture get to me, and I'm just going to keep going on with my business and see whatever investigation finds. But it's just, to me, it's incomprehensible that this is how the story has turned. We're talking about these allegations rather than what seems to be the major story in my eyes, which was this cover-up from COVID-19.
We'll see where it all goes. If they've got to eventually get back to the nursing home scandal, they're eventually going to address that again, I guess.
And they need to look at Pennsylvania, too, when they do that, because they did the same thing.
846 FM Talk 106.5. Text or call 343-0106. We'll see what you're up to on the text line and maybe get a call from you. And also more on cancel culture. Eating their own on the way. What in the world's going on, y'all? FM Talk 106.5. Have you been keeping an eye on the text line? Because I've done a poor job of that. But anyway, they're yapping about something over there. I can't quite make it out just
yet. Yeah, Buck says, cancel culture eating their own. It's funny. They may never get the foul taste of liberalism out of their mouth. And that is kind of what's happening here, right?
It's crazy. It's crazy. So here's the thing. When you have these shows that are kind of freewheeling, opinion is given, and a little bit like this.
They are opinion shows.
They're opinion shows.
For the most part, yeah.
So should everybody have the exact same opinion? I don't think so. So the talk, what was it, The View? It's The Talk. All right, so some of these shows are so insidious. The chatter is just, you know, and here I am, a guy that's in talk media, but I think we try to make some points about, you know, stories that count.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's the Markle thing, and it's the big interview with Oprah, and on and on. And so when Piers Morgan walks off his show in Great Britain, one of the members of the panel there knows him, Osborne.
Sharon
Osborne knows him.
So wife of Ozzy.
Wife of Ozzy. So she kind of defends him and says, well, you know, I don't think she was over the top. Just the defense of somebody with another opinion. Not that... You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It wasn't her opinion.
It wasn't her opinion, but she was defending his opinion.
Yeah.
About, you know, I don't watch these stupid shows, so I can't exactly tell you what happened.
Right.
But just reading the accounts of it, she was like, well, slow down here. No, Pierce is a friend of mine, and, you know, whatever. So that conversation, then the next day, she has this heartfelt conversation with Underwood, African-American woman on the show. And Underwood's explaining to Sharon Osbourne how you don't understand how that came across.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, I just, what do you mean how it came across? So anyway, she has this enlightening conversation with Miss Underwood. And now she feels so terrible. And now the CBS talk show canceled its episodes. So sorry if you're a big fan of The Talk. It will not be on today. It will not be on tomorrow. As they try to... they try to repair everything and put Humpty Dumpty's talk house back together again.
What the? Makes no sense. And I don't even know what Pierce Morgan, what he got in trouble for. What, it was something about Markle? And
well,
I guess they've had some long-running feud or something?
Well, he was just, he's more of a palace guy, like Buckingham Palace. She was out of line. She was out of turn. Well, so if you think she was out of line or out of turn in any way because race is involved, suddenly you're the bad guy now.
Yeah.
Suddenly, so there's no room for any nuance at all, it seems. And so Sharon Osbourne is getting eaten up in the same wheel that she's been. She's probably eaten up a lot of people in her day with her opinions about what somebody else had to say. And suddenly, it's like a... this is pretty crude. It's like somebody being eaten up in their own farm implement. You know, it's like it's a terrible thing when it happens, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's like her own machinery is taking her down.
Crazy. And, you know, I had, at least until this weekend, no reason to really care about this whole Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, whatever you have it from across the pond.
Sure.
But did you see this? It looks like Markle is seeing what a political run in her future may look like. a political run here in America. Now, I don't know what office it would be for. What I was reading was seemed to be that she's seeing what a presidential campaign may look like. So I saw some comedian who initially jokingly said that this, you know, Prince Harry, it is Harry, right, that came over here, that this was all a move for him to be a very high-profile mole from the UK government, and that he came over here with Markle so that she could run for office, gain some high level of, political power, and then they could return the United States of America back to rule under England. That's the end game here, is Markle getting the presidency.
Right under our own nose.
The very first gentleman will be none other than a prince from England. What do you think about that?
That sounds like it came from the mouth of a comedian. Because is that where it came from?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of funny. And if there's one country out there that we don't have major bones to pick with, it would be the United Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
So what we talked about, this cancel culture, you're talking about it on the text line as well, and I think you kind of agree with where we're going with it. It's so ridiculous that you've got to be able to have an opinion. You've got to be able to talk about something without the fear of getting just lashed and whipped by everybody and losing your job.
And you know, national media will tell you that the reason that these things are big stories now and they haven't been the last 4 years is because the president that held office for the last 4 years was such a horrible human being that they needed to keep us updated on his every move, every moment of his presidency, and that these mean tweets were the reason for the downfall of any kind of civil disagreements in America. And that was the reason why so many Americans disagree. But I think, you know, national media, they don't, now that they have their guy in as the president, they don't have much to complain about anymore. And you're hearing about Cuomo's impropriety, and you're hearing about what's happening with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, instead of things like this report here that President Joe Biden is reportedly planning the first major hike in federal taxes in almost 30 years. This report from The Hill, that this tax hike is needed in order to fund the $1.9 trillion pandemic stimulus package. The planned increases include raising the corporate tax from 21 to 28%, increasing the income tax rate on people making more than $400,000, expanding the estate tax, paring back tax preferences on pass-through businesses such as LLCs, and also setting up a higher capital gains tax rate for individuals making at least $1 million. So, you know, my theory here is that, well, they go wherever the clicks will get them, the media, first off, whatever gets the most clicks. And for some reason, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle gets a lot of clicks. And
well, they're international. You know, there's no borders or boundaries for the interest in that story.
But I want to see a breakdown here in the next few weeks. When Trump came in and had those tax cuts during his first term, during his only term in office, how many more stories were written about how horrible the tax cuts were than stories about the upcoming tax hikes under the Biden administration? I think that'll be an interesting breakdown in the future.
Well, that's why we're here. You know, we were able to resource the news from a lot of different angles, and we've got 3 hours in the morning to try and present it to you more or less down the middle and let you decide, right?
No doubt about it.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Jeff Poore on the way next.